Tell me, I understand you've already accomplished a few things.
Well, so what? Yeah, what's happened, Bob, is we found out through a fluke, to be honest, that there's been a big plan to cut a lot of the forests around Nelly Lake to begin with, and Iroquois Falls. And so we were lucky to find out at the ministry has a prescribed process to do this, right? Like you have to sort of follow these rules and their timeline. And we got in at the right time. We had a meeting with them. We had to fight to get really what we were after, but in the process, we discovered that there were a lot of errors that have been made in this forest management plan that they were putting forward.
How so? What
And
kind of errors?
well,
Where do you start?
okay, well, let's see. The very first map that came out of Nelly Lake showing where they're going to cut, it didn't have Nelly Lake Road on it. Okay, no road. The main thing is that they looked at different blocks and using satellite data now. And the company that does this is a private company that does it for profit. Okay. So they interpret this satellite data and they said, okay, well, here's this block. It has this type of tree. It's this age. And that's how they decided what they should cut. Well, one of our members is a forester, Lars Hildebrandt, and he went in there and looked at things and he's realized that there were, first of all, the age of the trees was way off. Also, they're supposed to, according to the Crown Forest Sustainability Act, which is the act that governs them, they're supposed to map all the streams and aquifers and this sort of thing. They'd missed a lot of streams. The ministry insisted for the longest time that Big Nelly Lake drained into the Abitibi River, which, if you look at a map, it almost looks like it does, but it doesn't. Okay, so all of these things are happening. So they were going to cut these big areas that were not ready to be cut. And so we've realized that, we've kind of fought for our little area and we've gotten some concessions from them for sure. But in the process, we've realized that they are looking at cutting a lot more than they really should. And the big problem with this is, I mean, great for us. We've won some areas that they're not going to us. But this forest management plan encompasses a huge area from Miracle Falls up to, I think, Moosonee, Cochrane West. Like, what's happening in all these other areas? What mistakes are they making there? And I think the mistakes are it's mismanagement. I believe what's happened is it used to be. Back in the old day, if somebody wanted to cut something, what they would do is they would apply to the ministry. They'd go out and they'd look at it. They'd apply to the ministry. The ministry would come and they'd check it all out and they'd say, okay, stay away from this and stay away from this and do this. And here's how you're going to get in, how you're going to get out. Okay. Now that they're using this satellite data that us Ontario taxpayers paid $84 million to get set up, okay, they're taking this data. And they're interpreting it, and they're doing it very much in a way that is allows for a lot more cutting. Okay, so the cutting that they're doing is close to roads, so it's easy access. It's in upland areas, so it's the most profitable timber. They used to give really nice buffers, 350 meters, no problem. Now they've cut into those buffers. Okay, and buffers are important. Buffers provide like not just windbreaks, but they provide forests do a lot of detoxifying. There's just so much going on. Well, boy, I find that I'm really disappointed that the ministry is so strongly supporting this company. What this company does is it interprets the data. It says, here's where we're going to cut. They call themselves the plan author, right? And they say they're harvesting. But really what's happening is they sell their services to a consortium of logging companies. So these logging companies they're in to maximize their profits. It, I don't know if most people don't know this, but there was an audit of the previous forest management plan, and they were it was a you know a proper audit that was done, and they found that the companies were only cutting half of the lumber of half of the timber that was allocated to them, half of it. What they're doing is they're high grading. They're getting the easy to cut stuff. They're leaving the stuff that's you know takes a little bit more work. You know, lumber prices are not low right now. There's huge profits to be made. And you know, I don't blame these companies. You know, they're a business. They're a business. They want to maximize the profits. So this company that does it, they're called First Management Resources Inc. Okay. And they have a little line that they use to sell their services to these forestry companies. And it's the right wood to the right mill at the right price. These are the people that are designing the forest management plan. They're managing the forests and they're doing it for profit. The ministry has backed off and they are supporting them.
Letting the fox We're into going, the hen house.
It's the fox in charge of the hen house, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the ministry. We've had meetings with the district manager. The town, we've brought the attention to the town of Iroquois Falls, and they passed a bylaw saying, hey, look, you know, you're coming into Iroquois Falls, we want some buffers, we want these buffers, and to the roads and to the waterways. And the ministry says, they wrote back and they said, well, you know, to the extent that this frustrates the purpose of an approved forest management plan, we can't allow this. So there's a jurisdictional issue going on here. Cochrane has done the same thing, and they've been chastised for what they've done. They received a letter and saying, you know, you can't do these things, and we're really disappointed that you're fighting the harvest. And they actually passed a couple more bylaws supporting that. So I'm very strongly hoping that the town of Iroquois Falls stands behind this bylaw that they've done. It's a good bylaw. You know, Iroquois Falls, we used to be a lumber town. We used to, well, a pulp and paper town, you know, reliant on forestry.
Five generations of my family.
Yeah. True. Yep. Very, very, very strong that way. But now we're a zero industry town. We were a one industry town, now we're a zero industry town. So we have to kind of reinvent ourselves. And to have the ministry come in and allow cutting right up to the roads, sort of stripping the roads, you know, and, you know, you've driven on Jacobs Hill Road, you know what, you know all the twists and turns. If they clear cut to that, there's going to be, you know, snow drifting across it. You know, it's going to be more dangerous than it is now.
And it's probably busier than Highway 67, people going back and forth to Nellie Lake.
Well, and there's hills, you know, we actually have, you know, hills on Big
yeah.
Hill, on this road. So
yeah.
It's. I feel very strongly that the ministry has let us down. There's a thing called the Crown Forest Sustainability Act, and it states, the very first line, I'll read it to you, is, one second, put me on pause.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, it's to manage the Crown Forests, balancing economic, social, and environmental needs. And I think that they have sacrificed the social and the environmental needs for the economic benefit of a few people. And, you know, we're not against logging. We're not against logging at all. But you know, if there's a forest and there's people that are using one part of it, and one part of it's important to a community, does that not have some value? Can we not say, oh, let's leave this and let's go somewhere else and cut over there? There's still lots of forests here, but they're really getting very, very close to populated areas that they never used to do. And it's, like I say, it's driven by business. And we have a meeting with the regional manager in early January, who will also, I believe, strongly defend what his district manager has wanted. And our next step is to talk to the minister. Unfortunately, this current government, they've changed Ontario's motto to open for business. It used to be keep it beautiful. I think we remember that.
Yeah.
And it used to be yours to discover, but now it's open for business. And I don't think it's in the public interest to have business deciding policy. And this is what's happening.
Okay, so there are a couple little victories that you have declared, your committee. Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Well, yes. When we first found out about this, I live at Big Nelly Lake. I live on the east side. The map, the first forest management plan map, didn't show the road, but it showed that they were going to cut right across the street from my house and on all the cottages up the road, and they were going to clear cut it very close to the lake. We told them we didn't want that, and so they offered a buffer across from our houses, but not around the corner where there's no houses. So they were going to still clear cut that. I had mentioned that the forester in our group had gone back and ground truth, they call it, had mapped, had recorded what is back where they plan to cut. And he realized how young it was, and he realized there were some rare trees in there that are actually protected species. So when the plan author, when this forester came up from this company that makes this plan, when he came up, Lars showed him this area, and he said, "You're right. It's not what we say it is. Okay, we'll take that area off." So now they're not cutting the area sort of to the east of Big Nelly Lake. There's about 200 hectares there that they're not cutting, which is a huge area. Actually, more than we thought we'd ever get. But, you know, in our efforts to try to protect that, we found so many failings with the process that we just can't let it go. We can't say, "Oh, we got what we want. We're going to let everybody else go down the tubes. We're going to let them cut to the road everywhere else," right? Like you guys, this is out of control.
Okay.
The fox is in charge of the hen house.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Anya had mentioned to me when I spoke to her, I guess several months ago now, that one of the concerns too was the hiking / snowmobile trail to the east of the lake. Were you able to save? Is that part of the area you were able to save?
Well, so when we met with the district manager, he had said, "Well, we can't acknowledge your buffers. We can't allow that. But you know, ask us for some specific areas." So we said, "Okay, well, we'd like a 30-meter buffer to the snowmobile trail. You know, it's called the Jackpine Snowmobile Club." Right, it's not called the Clear Cut Snowmobile Club, right? So anyway, yeah. So one of our members had said that. So So they gave us they give us little tidbits every time we'd meet with them. They give us a little bit more, but you know, I think it's telling that they give us a little bit more because they want us to go away.
Yeah, but you're not going to go away, obviously.
Well, we're not going to go away without. Without doing everything we can. Unfortunately, we're a group. We don't really have jurisdiction over anything. We're just a volunteer group. We really need the town to come and to stand by their bylaw. Cochrane has done this. There's actually, I think, 140 some odd municipalities in northeastern Ontario or Northern Ontario, I'm not sure, that are being impacted by the way these forest management plans are being drawn now. And I see in the near future us reaching out to all of them and seeing how much, you know, how many of them we can get to sort of fight back to preserve the forests. Because, as I say, there's lots of wood to cut. And people have their values. People move north not to live in a clear-cut area. You know, I came up here because of the forest. It was beautiful. I'm from down south. I've been here for 40 years and raised my family here, and it's a great place to be. But boy, oh boy, you know, if you want to cut a tree in a municipality down south, you got permits to fill to cut a tree, right? Up here, they're turning Northern Ontario into a tree farm. That's what it seems to me.
But the
And
thing
maybe it's
is,
economic.
you said, you know, that, or anyway, the implication from what you've been saying is that there are a lot of trees and you can coexist. You know, there's enough trees to cut in areas that aren't close to where people are living. But then again, the
There is.
economy of it isn't there. It costs them more to cut the trees down way in the wilderness than it does next to Nelly Lake Road.
Yeah, and it costs more to cut them and it costs more to haul them. But you can't tell me that they're looking for the highest profit margin. That's what a business does. You know, a business like that is looking for the highest profit margin. They want to sell it and they're on fire that way. They're great. And if they've got the ministry on their side, go for it. But like I say, I'm very disappointed that the ministry is allowing this to happen. They're really siding with industry. And I think I think it's a betrayal of the trust of the public that they're doing this.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to let you go. I won't be
Okay.
able to get a story done until Monday, but I certainly will on Monday. And
Sure.
yeah, I will be in touch. And don't be afraid to reach out if you have any more developments.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Our next meeting is in early it's about January 11th, I think it is, and that's with a regional manager.
Okay.
We also have a meeting with the town. We'll have a meeting with the town council about this to request that they, to give our evidence that it is in the best interests of the town of Iroquois Falls to support their bylaw and perhaps augment it. They're not alone. Cochrane is doing this as well.